Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the major shit. Let's go hook him up!
And believe it or not, I think I am actually joined by both my co-hosts tonight. What's going on, Craig?
Greetings, salutations, Ed. How are you this evening?
I'm doing fine. And we have our other co-host on the line, Katrera. What's going on, Katrera?
I'm fine.
Well, that's better than normal. So, luckily, Katrera's not sick. And luckily, Craig's not choosing money, the root of all evil, money over doing this show. So we can proceed.
Actually, that is not exactly what the scriptures say. And the love of money is the root of all evil.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. I didn't know there was a difference, but
no,
anyway,
total
we can get. Oh, go ahead.
So there's a total difference.
Okay. If you say so.
All right.
And I'd be lying if I didn't say I didn't like money either.
All right, there you go.
But anyway, we are finally back together, and we had the start to WrestleMania started this past Sunday with the Royal Rumble. And I liked this show for the most part. I thought it was actually one of their better shows that they've had in a while. I've seen mixed reaction to it. But what did you guys think of the show?
I thought it was very good. We talked about them pretty much.
Yeah, I don't know why there was a mixed reaction to this. I thought it was a very good show. You know, they had some low spots, but, you know, a lot of wrestling shows have low spots. But, I thought it was real good.
Well, I think part of the reason...
Bad. I thought all the matches were actually pretty good.
Well, I think like in this Twitter age that, you know, it used to be where a show could be horrible and one really awesome thing could save the show, whereas it seems like it's turned to where a show can be awesome and one terrible thing or one thing the fans didn't like can ruin the show, supposedly. And I think the negative comes from just people not being happy that Triple H won, even though it advanced its storyline and everything. So I think... You know, the people, they just want a bitch nowadays, and if they find that one little thing, you can take a 5-star pay-per-view, not that this was 5 stars, but you can, they'll say that it sucked. And
those people in that arena sure were happy one.
Yeah, I kind of marked out myself. I didn't mind it, honestly. I'm just happy it wasn't Roman.
I'm just happy, like, something I knew, I figured was going to happen actually happened, instead of something different.
Yeah.
You know? I kind of knew what was going to go on, so but it's still good.
Craig, why do you... I mean, well, I guess you said you didn't understand why people were complaining, but did you watch that?
No,
I
was going to say, I get why people complain, because that's what people do online. You know?
That's what the internet is for.
It seems that it's the cool thing to do now is to poo-poo on everything WWE, even when it's good.
Or everything in life in general.
Like, instead of calling people, you know, they say there's this millennial generation. It should be more like the complaining generation.
It's true.
That's the main thing about the internet, you know, is the one main thing that will always be true about the internet is I only slap flow with negative people, more negative than positive. That's just the truth. I guess it's more fun to be pissed off about shit and be ranting about stuff than be happy or something. I don't know. I don't get it.
Well, it doesn't help that, like, the fact that, like, you know, news, like, okay, let's say something happens. Some event happens or someone does something, makes some headlines. And 98% of the reaction will be positive. But then what they'll show is they'll show those tweets that are the 2% negative and they make a big deal out of nothing. And, you know, the media, it's not like the media helps, but I guess that's their freaking job and that's how they make money by, you know, that's news. Is bad shit's news. Good shit really isn't, you know. But, you know, we just have to deal with that, and I don't let that affect me. Like, there are people who I've known for years, and it's just, you see them, they've kind of bought into this anti, like, WWE thing, and they just don't like the product anymore. And it's like, if you truly say you didn't like the product, like, you truly say you don't, why do you watch it? Why are you watching it every day? Why are you, there's, like,
I want you to complain about it.
Yeah,
right.
Like some of the guys that call into Wrestling Observer Live, and a lot of them are so anti-WWE, but yet, and they say that, oh, it's terrible, this is that, but yet they watch it every week. They know everything that's going on. It's like, it's like, how do you hate it so much if you watch it so much? And they, well, I want to watch it to be good. I go, well, you know, it's just, they're just not going to stop watching. It's just what it is.
I ain't gonna lie, back in the, you know, back a few years ago, I'd be the one watching TNA just so I could hate it. Then that became boring. So, but it was fun to hate TNA, you know? I don't have fun hating WWE stuff. I don't know, it's just not as bad, I guess. I don't know. I just don't have any fun doing it. TNA's fun to rag on.
Yeah, and like in the Monday Night Wars, you know, I was, well, way before I was always an NWA guy or WWF until that goddamn parade in Atlanta, Georgia, that changed everything. And then I ended up slowly becoming the WWE fan and hating WCW. And then, you know, when Raw would start every Monday, right before the show, I put on my Austin 316 shirt. And when Raw, the opening for Raw would hit, I'd stand up and be going crazy. And I was really into the wrestling war because it was fun. And, you know, I like I say, I favored WWE, but that's not to say that when Eddie Guerrero and Dean Malenko were wrestling on Nitro, I didn't change the channel to see them because, you know, I'd be an idiot not to. You know what I mean? I might have said I was all WWE, but I was going back and forth all night long, you know.
I never hated WCW. Like, a lot of people hate WCW. I've never hated WCW because I grew up loving WCW. Well, not so much WCW, but, you know, like the Crockett and stuff, which is the same thing, basically. You know, WCW, NWA, all that stuff. So I never hated WCW, although it got pretty damn stupid at the end there.
Yeah.
Well, it was never the wrestling for me. It was, they betrayed me. They betrayed me. They betrayed what they were when they signed Hulk Hogan at that goddamn parade. They betrayed me. You know what I mean? That's why I didn't like him. It's not that I never thought the wrestling sucked. Cause they always, even when like Hogan brought in all his buddies, there was still good shit. You know.
Well,
and then when they had
WCW, and like there was a spot, in, like for maybe a year and a half, in 94 and 95, when it was just some of like the worst TV I've ever seen. Just terrible. I mean, terrible stuff. Beefcake and the Starrcade main event. I never got over that one.
But I guess we could go ahead and start with the world. Well, actually, there was some late breaking news right before the show. Because you mentioned TNA is on tour in Europe right now, And apparently, not too long ago, in the dressing room, there was some kind of altercation between Awesome Kong and Ribby Sky, and it got physical, and they have since sent Awesome Kong home, and she's off on a tour. And I don't know.
Did she say something about Haiti?
She might have. Awesome Kong to me in interviews is always come off as like one of the sweetest ladies out there. Yeah, but right before I was on here on Twitter, Robert's going around saying that this is a reputation, that she's difficult to work with and all this stuff. So, I mean, I don't know. But why would you want to piss off Awesome Kong? You know what I mean? I know she's older and she's hurt, but why would you want to piss off Awesome Kong?
I'll tell you this. Brian actually was in a car cross-country. I think it was when he worked for Sinbad. And Awesome Kong and him shared a car ride. I can't remember who the other person was, but and Brian said she was the sweetest, and I'm not saying this because she's black. She reminded me of Aunt Jemima, the way she talked. Very southern, very sweet. I know, but it was her demeanor, not her color, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, you didn't say exotic.
That's true.
But, yeah, I mean, Awesome Kong's actually been in an MMA fight, and supposedly the person she fought was supposed to whoop her ass, but apparently this girl was talking shit about Awesome Kong to other girls in the back, and then realized that Awesome Kong speaks Japanese, and she pissed off Awesome Kong, and Awesome Kong went and beat the fuck out of this girl, because the girl said what she was told the other girl what she was going to do to her, so Awesome Kong was ready and just fucking fucked her up, and, I loved Awesome Kong back in the day, but she really needs to take care of that injury because it's sad seeing her because she can't do anything. I mean, what she can do, she does it good, but she can barely move now. It's just she really needs to just bite the bullet and get the surgery. I know it's time off or whatever, but quality of life, you know what I mean? You know, and it's not like she's making like – I would understand if it was like WWE money or something. You know, you don't want to stop getting that paycheck. But is TNA really paying Awesome Kong that much for her to suffer instead of, you know, getting it fixed?
Probably not best to get an altercation with the world champ's wife.
I was going to say, I don't know Rebby Sky, but I've known Matt Hardy's antics over the last few years, and if one thing I've known throughout my lifetime is chaos breeds chaos, I would imagine she's kind of a mess.
Well, she was the one that called the cops for when they raided his house, basically, and she was a little unhinged herself. If I don't remember the whole
story. That's what I'm saying.
It's not like she was calm. That's all I can say. But,
yeah.
I'm actually getting excited here because I'm about ready to watch a hoss fight. I think Jessica Havoc's about to wrestle Vanessa Craven, and
I see
both these women could beat the shit out of all three of us together. And Vanessa Craven is actually I have two pictures with her. One picture I'm like slightly taller than her, and the other picture she looks taller than me. And I'm not the tallest guy, but I'm 6 foot or just slightly under 6 foot, and When you're looking eye to eye to a girl who's big boned and you know knows how to like intimidate people, it's scary. I walk on nails, walk on like eggshells when I'm around Vanessa Craven at the shows because she just looks like she's beautiful and hot for her size, but you know she could just punch me in the face and knock me out.
Fair enough. Getting back to hating on WWE. I think it's funny because back in the day, it was, if you were an ECW fan, it was like your job to hate WCW and WWF. And it was funny because when you would see at the ECW arena tapings, there was a set of characters that sat in the front row. There was a guy with the straw hat and his buddy, and then there was a guy with really long black hair, and he always wore sunglasses indoors, And then his buddy had kind of
Ivan, the buddy
okay,
was Ivan. I met him this past WrestleMania. He was
okay,
like on the same floor.
He had the mohawk pulled back into a ponytail kind of a thing. And there was that cast of characters. And these guys at the ECW arena, when chants would start, there would be anti-WWF chants, and these guys would be going whole hog on the chants. Smash cut to WrestleMania or Royal Rumble or whatever in the New York metro area, those same people would be front row for the WWF events.
Mm-hmm.
So make of that what you will, but I think that guys on the internet, they are allowed, because of the internet, to see a lot of really great independent wrestling from around the world because of the internet. And so they see those things, and then I apparently they take on the mantle of the WWE hating, as best I can understand. So I don't know. It's weird. I'll say that.
Yeah.
It looks like we got a phone call on the board here.
I will put them on because I'm not even looking at the screen. I'm watching Shine.
Okay. Code 901. Who's this? Wait, I don't know how to work this thing. Okay, go ahead.
Well, hello, Ed. How you doing today?
Pretty good. Who's this?
Oh, it is me, John from Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh, what's going on, John from Memphis, Tennessee? How you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine. I just decided to listen to the best show in the Figure Four Empire, man, from the eighth smartest man in the Empire, Ed Laredo, and the fifth smartest man in the Empire. I just called to ask Craig, man, have you thought about my proposition, man?
You're putting me on the spot.
I am going to put
it's been thought about.
Your price. Oh,
right.
I have tried. I am trying to get the Battle of the Empire Part 2. I want the match between Craig Corrosion versus Vinnie Vegas. Think about it. That is awesome. How many people will want to see a freak show like that? think of it like watching Braun Strowman versus the Big Show.
Right.
Who's who?
That would be... You tell me you do not want to see Craig versus Vinny? That would be awesome.
It would be one of the all-time Hoss battles of all time.
I'm thinking that Vinny and I could come up with the most ridiculous comedy spots again and again and again. You know what I mean?
It has to be a 10-minute Broadway.
That's about 8 minutes too long, brother.
Instead of the form, they'd have to use a lot of, smoke and mirrors, but instead of like chairs or candlesticks, they'll use like glazed donuts or stuff like
popcorn.
That to distract the other one, popcorn. They'll use the foam fingers to smash each other over the head on the outside.
Yeah.
When they do the crisscross, they'll be so blown up after 2 minutes that they'll be walking, and it'll be like a two-minute.
We'll do the crisscross thing, and one of us will end up going down, just falling down, and then the other one will blow up and then fall on top of him, 1, 2, 3. There's the finish.
All right, but I called in to talk about your subject that you've been talking about, the Royal Rumble and the situation like that. I already gave my thoughts on it. I did like the match. But think about this, gentlemen. I'm giving WWE a grade curve below what I have been watching for the past 30 years, and I know I'm 35. Before I let you know, I'm 35. So I'm like, I don't know how you are, Ed, but I'm like 8 years younger than.
I'm like
8 years younger than probably both of y'all. And I grew up watching pretty much Memphis wrestling. Now, I don't know if y'all watch Memphis wrestling. I grew up watching Memphis wrestling, but I saw everything from this to absurd to great matches for let's just say first 15 years of me watching professional wrestling. And I have literally counted, thought about it. I've watched pretty much most of the superstars that started in the Attitude Era, including Daniel Bryan and some other ones, start getting their start here in Memphis. But the WWE has been on a downward spur, and I think Vince is becoming a little too stubborn. And I'm talking about Vince McMahon. I'm not talking about the great and most intelligent man in the Figure Four Empire, Vincent Verhey. I know that makes you sick, Ed. But I told you I would take a bullet for Vincent Verhey. How many people you would take? Would you take a bullet for Brian?
Me? No.
I'd put a bullet in Brian.
I'd push him in front. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm getting very close to banning him from all F4W activities at WrestleMania weekend.
I wish I was going, but I don't feel like going to the weekend. Only thing I will go to is trying to see that NXT show, man. I'm kind of excited for that, but outside of that, this is another thing. I don't get it. For the last couple of major four, which you quote unquote the development league has produced a better show than the major show. I don't know. I'm afraid that this WrestleMania is going to be a boring WrestleMania. I don't know if y'all think that. I know I sound negative, and I have not been watching WWE that let's say about 25 years because one, I didn't really get it until about 25 years ago, and that's when it was towards the tail end of the golden era. That's number one. Number two, I'm really mostly a Southern wrestling fan. I watch, like I say, Memphis, Smoky Mountain, UWF, and WCW, even during the lean years of WCW. And I'm talking about the early 90s lean years, not the late early 2000s. I quit watching then. I just have not been a big fan of WWE that long. And if you're from a Southern boy, just been watching it for so long, I just don't feel it. I watch WWE.
John, I can actually tell you why you prefer NXT and think it's booked better than WWE. And it goes back to you watching Memphis back in the day, because Memphis, we'd get it here and there. Memphis had some horrible shit on the show. They had some of the worst jobbers ever. But it was booked. The booking, everything made sense. Everything booked week to week led to the big show. And the thing with NXT is NXT has one main writer, and he's not filtered. So basically, he's writing week to week. He's building to these shows, whereas WWE's got 28 writers, and they're all booking to make Vince McMahon happy.
Let me ask you, why you think they have 28 writers?
In Beyond the Mat, Vince, he said, we make movies. Vince has gotten to the point where he thinks it's this big production thing. It's got to be complicated. It's got to be, fine-tuned, whatever. He forgot that the best shit that they did was when it was just him and Pat Patterson booking everything for a year in advance. He thinks that's too small, that they've evolved. They're not the small-time wrestling. They're they're like Universal Studios. They're like Disney. You know what I mean? And you have to have, like, when he did that Stone Cold podcast, he said so many things that were, well, we can't do it like that anymore. It's got to be like this. It's like, no, this sucks. You know, you evolved to this. Well, now let's evolve back or evolve to something new because the current process isn't helping. And when you have a weak roster, which they have right now because of all the injuries, it really adds up.
They had a weak they had a weak roster before that. Let me ask you a question, Ed. Can you name me? This includes the whole roster, the ones that injured or not. Let me ask you a question. Let's just go down. Let's just ask you, who are your top stars, injured or not, on the WWE right now?
Brock Lesnar and John Cena.
That's pretty much it. You can, and all right, maybe Orton. And that's pretty much it. All right. Now, let's just forget the – I get to the middle back. Let me ask you, who are your complete 100% bottom of the barrel that is nothing, that you know, if you see this guy come out to the ring, he is a loser? How many do you see there? And I'm talking about – I'm not talking about that doesn't get 50-50 booking. I'm talking about that gets zero booking. That is nothing. Hello?
As far as people who I just don't like watching on WWE, I don't really hate anyone that bad to where, I mean, I hate the overpush of Roman Reigns, but there's no one who I don't really care for Dolph or Sheamus all that much, but there's no one I would say in the WWE that's actually bad. I mean, Braun Strowman.
I'm not talking about, I think you misunderstand my question. I'm talking about, would you consider, all right, let's just say this. If I put Mark Henry against, let's just say, Bo Dallas, if they had 10 matches, how many times should Mark Henry beat Bo Dallas? How many
Nine
times. All right. If I put Mark Henry against Big Show, how many times should Big Show and Mark Henry split the matches? 50-50, right? You would say that, right?
Yeah.
All right. What I mean by that is the people like the social outclass, that's four. I'm talking about guys that if they were in any other time, they would be considered, and would they be considered jobbers? I'm not talking about carpenters. I'm talking about complete jobbers. Their job is to lay down on the mat and just take the pinfall. 1, 2, 3. Outside the social outcast, there is over 10 that you would consider, including the social outcast, that are complete and 100% jobbers in that company.
Well, they're being featured at least. Social outcasts, they are.
Not just Cutter. Not just feature. I'm talking about they get no reaction. They get a little reaction, but they just they're just collecting the paycheck, just doing nothing. All right. Now, outside of the 50-50 booking, which I really don't, which I really hate, only person right now I can literally say that is not getting a 50-50 booking is the Wyatt family. And most times they only time they lose is by disqualification. Don't get me too in depth with SmackDown, and SmackDown is the only show I do not watch. I just listen to, and there's a reason why I listen to it. And the only reason why I listen to SmackDown, do not watch it, is because of Ronaldo. But that's my personal preference because I like. It's just the way that I grew up. See, I grew up listening to wrestling on the radio. And for people who don't understand that, in Memphis, they had it every Monday night. Listen live on the radio. And I listened to Lance Russell on the radio because I can see him understand that. And I'm just worried that it's just – it's just bad. And I just don't understand that. And it's just going to always be bad. With these 28, all right, one more D-man, then I'm going to leave. If Vince wanted to do his, and to make movies or situations like that, then why don't he just buy Lucha Underground and just make Lucha Underground his show that he wants to do? But if he does that, he probably messed that up, and that's my thing on that one. And that's the kind of thing, if he wants to do that, why don't he just do it like Lucha Underground? Or like, what was that other show that was kind of like Lucha Underground that had those shows?
The Lucha Libre USA, or what the hell is it called?
It wasn't a Lucha show. It was a pro wrestling show that had those characters on there.
The MTV show?
It wasn't an MTV show, but it was a show that had the same concept as Lucha Underground. It had somewhat of a similar concept, but it was just a wrestling. It was dealing with professional wrestlers, not from Lucha Libre, but
Wrestling Society.
Something
or
like
the one that was on BET, the black version.
Urban Wrestling.
Not Urban Wrestling Federation, something like that. All right, but I also got one more thing to ask you, Ed, and I've been wanting to ask you since. One more thing. How come? Do you watch Lucha Underground, Ed?
I don't watch it weekly, but I've seen, like, whenever there's an episode where someone raves about, I watch. Like, I watched that, the six-man where Eva Lys and her team won. That was actually pretty incredible. And then there was that Battle Royale, the Royal Rumble. That was pretty awesome. But I haven't watched every episode.
All right. And this one I might understand is, WWE got rid of Eva Lys?
I don't know why they got rid of Maxine, but I can tell you on Eva Lys. Eva Lys, she's a great wrestler. She's a heat magnet. She just doesn't get along with everybody. She had heat with Shimmer when she was just breaking in, because she would go and try and get on the shows and just would rub people the wrong way and just would never get on the shows. WWE didn't like her attitude. She's a great worker and everything, but I guess she has a lot of pride in herself, and which a lot of wrestlers do, and it's what a lot of wrestlers need to get in through this business. But when you're a woman or something like that, it rubs people the wrong way, and that's the main reason why Eva Lys was let go. It's just they didn't like her attitude. They didn't like the fact that she thought she was as good as she is.
Well, she is good as she is. I kind of think she should have been on the main roster, but
she's great. She's been having a hard time coming back from the injury, but before she got hurt, she was having some of the best matches when she was a Giant Champion. She was awesome.
I'm kind of glad I got to talk to you. I actually like you. I don't understand why I'm bad ever except for my team. I think he's jealous of you, man.
He is. He's a jerk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's why he's cutting you short, John. You should give him crap the next time you call in for being rude to you and cutting your call short lately.
Well, I ramble a lot, man. It's just my nature. I do that every time I go to court all the time when I have to do that. No, I testify it when I have to go to court. No. I'm a licensed social worker here. I testified in court for my job with the state of Tennessee. Yeah, I know. A person with intelligence that works for the state of Tennessee that's a wrestling fan. I know that's strange. How But that's all I gotta say, guys. I'm glad I talked to you, Ed. And Craig, think about it. Try to convince Vinny.
I'll keep thinking about it. There's your problem right there, convincing Vinny.
Isn't it like Girl Scout season, cookie season? You should buy like a whole bunch of Girl Scout cookies, and while you're driving to Brian to do the show, you get them all on a cookie high, and then you bring it up and convince him that. and that if you guys do it, John will buy him Girl Scout cookies for the rest of his life.
Listen. I'm trying to get time out for July, man. If I want it set up for the convention, I am going to try to go to the convention. I'm trying to get out of see if I got any important meetings and stuff that I have to deal with, other conventions during that time, and I probably got a family union that I have to deal with, but I want to go to the convention just to meet Idol and try to convince him to do this match. And to literally just to look at Brian and to make Brian Alvarez miserable. Because I was coming to the, hey, no offense, hey, Craig, I've been to your lovely area of Seattle. I was actually in Everett, Washington.
Yeah.
And for my brother's wedding with his husband, and I was I wanted to meet the ninth smartest man in the empire, Brent Clement, man, just to make him Ed and Brent are smarter than Brian.
Thanks.
Well, guys, I gotta go. I like y'all. Right, I'm gonna continue to listen to the show, and tell Brian he's still number 10 in my book.
Number 10. I'll tell him tomorrow. For sure.
Peace out.
Cool. Well, have
later,
a good time. Hey, Craig.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm watching The Shine. They're on the second match. They have Crazy Mary Dobson, who was like his hairdresser. And stuff.
Yep.
Why is she with Madman Pondo? What do you think? What's your explanation for that relationship?
Okay. oddly enough, my buddy who used to wrestle here, him and Lila. Lila. They went up. Lila and him went up and wrestled for Madman up there. And he said, I don't know what it is, but if you're an older wrestler, you end up with a super hot girl that's younger than you. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's in the water. But he said, that is not out of character. That's kind of the way it works in that area. So your guess is as good as mine.
Well, it'd be one thing if it was a normal-looking older man. We're talking Madman Pondo.
Right.
Like when we were at Shine, after the first show, me and Sean Sloan were leaving. And we were leaving. There's a car parked, like, right by the building. And they got the hood up, and they're messing around. And I'm like, okay, somebody's car broke down or whatever. And then Sloan says, Pondo, do you need a jump? And I was like, oh, shit, it is Madman Pondo. And we were going to give him a jump, but somebody else had got there before us and gave him a jump. But it just blows my mind because she's fucking, goddamn, she's fucking hot. And then Madman Pondo looks like an old beat-up, beat-down wrestler. And one of the best parts of the Shine show, though, was like when Soraya Knight was she wrestled Crazy Mary. And basically, Mary came into the ring because she's acting crazy because that's her gimmick and smiling. And Soraya just walked up to her, slapped the shit out of her, and then Mary just smiles and laughs. And basically the whole match was Soraya beat the shit out of her, get her down. Mary would slowly get up and smile and laugh and just repeat, repeat, repeat. Finally they're in the crowd, and Soraya's just beating the fuck out of her. Like, I mean, it's all Soraya. Mary Dawson hadn't done one move this whole match. She's beating her outside the ring, kicking her ass so bad, and Pondo's against the wall. This is a small building. He's just watching. But everyone can see he's right there because they're fighting, like, pretty close to him. So the whole crowd, I mean, it was so loud. The whole crowd's just screaming, Pondo, Pondo. And then she stops being all crazy, and she looks at Pondo, and she's, like, gestures, like, what the fuck are you going to do? And Pondo just gave her, like, the big double bird, and, like, the whole building just, like, exploded. But it's just, that's one of those weird, is it more like a father figure type of a thing, or they're just trying to advance their careers, or
it got me.
Weird. Especially that one.
It's weird to me. It's very weird to me.
She's like early 20s. I mean, she's pretty young. But whatever makes you happy, you know.
I guess so.
Yeah. But anyway, we can go to the Rumble review, because I actually only set the show for like 60 minutes. I don't even know how long we've been doing it. But
it's 40 after.
The first opening match was fantastic. Usually last man standing matches aren't, and they did it right, because sometimes they do that shit where you get the pin and then they get 10 count to get up, which they didn't do that here. That spot.
They don't
never
do that in WWE, though.
Well, some places would do that. Like back in the day, I know like a territory.
Well, they were Texas
Deathmatch. That's
what Texas Deathmatch was.
Yeah. But that table spot was awesome. I mean, that just looked so awesome. That was, to me, that was probably the best match of the show.
Yeah, it was real good. They did a lot of crazy stuff, setting up chairs and tossing each other through them or on top of them. Funniest thing was when Kevin was actually setting up the double table, he pulled out one, and I don't know exactly what was yelled at him, but some kid said something about setting the Thanksgiving table, and he looks at the guy and says, "Thanksgiving was in November, dummy," and then goes back to setting up the table.
I love this spot. I don't know why nobody's ever thought of this, but the spot of you're down for the 10 count, and you just roll to your feet outside the ring. I thought that was
that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Nobody ever does that.
Yeah.
It's common sense. You know, it's like the simplest thing in the world to get to your feet.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So I thought that was good. I thought the tag match was good. I thought Kalisto and Alberto was okay. Kalisto is just, he kind of looks like Rey Mysterio, and he can do stuff that Rey Mysterio can do, but he's nowhere near as polished as Rey Mysterio. I mean,
right.
He's still indie-ish, honestly, as far as like execution of the moves. I mean, sometimes he can do them perfect, and sometimes he can't. And the thing with Rey is Rey was consistent all the time. Like he Rey hardly ever screwed up, honestly. And this kid, he's very hit and miss. And once he polishes that up, I'm sure he'll be a lot better. But he's like I say, he's very hit and miss to me.
I wouldn't say hit and miss. I would say there's more hit than miss. But his high flying is really great. It's some of the transition spots that he blows every so often. The Selena Del Sol always looks pretty good. You know what I mean? It's. I think he's really good, and given time in the bigs, I think he's going to do really well in the next couple of years.
I say he can only get better, but right now, like I say, he's just not polished. What did you think of the match, Katrina?
I thought it was a good match. I was actually very surprised that he won. Since they went through the whole thing of him winning the title and then losing it the same week, and figured there's going to be another rematch where he loses. So that was a nice surprise.
Yeah. And then another match that I thought was good was the women's match. And I thought the promo, the video package, some people were saying it was too long. I thought it was one of the best video packages they've done in a long time, and that's one of the few things that WWE is pretty consistent at doing, is making good video packages. And I thought that the story, because they basically told the whole story, kind of, and I thought that was awesome. It got me hyped for the match. I thought the match was good. I didn't like how they treated Becky Lynch at the very end of it. They really just drew her down to the dogs by having both of them beat the shit out of her after the match. it seems like they've decided to go with maybe a three-way, so hopefully they'll give her a little something back. But I didn't like that. She's carried. That division was so fucking horrible, and everybody was down on it. And it was Becky Lynch that actually got a momentum and got it going, and then they just treated her like such dirt at the end of that match.
Complete afterthought.
And I don't know.
It has been like the best program on the shows for since it started, like the last month or so.
It's been the best storyline, and it's just she was just there to pulled her over till Sasha got over the injury or something. It's like, damn, man, she's the one that should be featured out of all of them, I think. But it was a good match. And Flair, it's just awesome getting to see Flair do anything.
Well, I'm so glad he's the manager of ringside. I love him. I'd like to sit down and get something good to do after years of having him do nothing.
Speaking of people complaining and bitching on social media, the people who are going overboard with this Ric Flair and rape innuendo as he stole this kiss, get the fuck out of here with that bullshit.
This is gimmick.
Fucking wrestling.
Yeah. He's a kiss. They said in the commentary, he's a kiss-stealing son of a gun. He says it in his, in his gimmick.
Yeah. Even she referenced it when she did her version of the Flair promo when she was talking about the inconsistent, or what did she say? The something about the wooing. That was a funny line.
Oh, I forgot what it was now. It's totally, I'm drawing
a
blank.
Kiss from the women, that's what it was all about. It's been like 30 years since I've been watching it.
You know, the biggest pops would be like when David Von Erich grabbed Sunshine by the hair and kissed her. People went crazy for that. You know what I mean? Shit like that. Like, that was the big spot. You'd have that bitch-ass fucking valet with a chicken shit heel, and finally she'd always be getting in the face, and finally the baby face would either kiss her or spank her. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that'd be the pop. It went on for years and years and years, and now Ric Flair kisses Becky Lynch to distract her, and oh my God, he almost raped her in the ring in front of all of us. He almost sodomized her in front of all the children in the audience.
Yeah, that sums it up.
Can't have them kids going stealing kisses from the girls. That's how you become men. They appreciate it in a few years. If you don't get slapped, then you're in. You know, you made it.
But
used to go out to the bars in college, and he'd go up to a girl and stick it in your ass, and he said, if you don't get slapped, then you're good, you know. Sorry to be so vulgar there, but that's what they say.
Yeah. That was a tried and true technique back in the day.
If you say somebody the nastiest thing, if you don't get slapped, then you're in, you know, you're good. So.
Yeah.
They just cut to the chase. You don't go through all the dating and talking bullshit, you know? Get right to it.
But going to the Royal Rumble, there was a lot of stuff I liked in the Rumble. There's a couple of things that I didn't like. One of the things I liked, and I don't know why I really liked this as much as I did, because I knew what was going to happen as soon as I heard the fucking R-Truth's music. I knew because they've been doing this, like, I knew how, like, they've been doing everything where he's, like, wrong about everything, and he came rolling. And as soon as he went to pick up the apron, I knew what the fuck he was going to do. And I saw it coming a mile away, and I watched it, and he climbed up there, and everybody just stopped what they were doing to look at him, like, what the fuck are you doing, fool? And he climbs up there as fast as he can, and he gets up there, and he's excited because he's about to win, and he reaches up, and there's no briefcase. And I was just like, laughed and laughed and laughed, and I saw it coming, and I knew what was going to happen, but I still laughed and laughed at that. I don't know why.
It was a good spot. I like that.
And then the other thing that I like the most is I just remember, like, this is exactly what's going through my mind. I see Brock Lesnar close Braun Strowman, and he didn't move, and I'm like, that wasn't smart. And then as soon as that came out of my mouth, the most vicious clothesline I've ever seen in my life. destroyed Braun Strowman. And then he just, and then those running, flying knees, those were just, I just screamed in joy. Those were beautiful. Those were like a work of art. Just, goddamn, Brock Lesnar hauling ass and flying through the air with his knee. I think that would kill a normal man. But yeah, that was fucking great. And I liked how they did AJ. I liked how, like, because when he first came out, it was what, number two or three?
Three.
I was like, oh, fuck. They're trying to build, because the way Roman threw out Rusev, it's like, okay, they're going to have him do that to the next eight or nine people. And then when AJ hit, I was like, oh, no. But then they did it right. They had him, AJ took, what was smart is AJ took his time. So by the time he got in the ring, the countdown was already on, basically, or just about. And then they'd face up. Somebody would come in. They'd deal with them. They'd face up. And I thought they did AJ really good in the Rumble. I thought they, like, especially in the beginning. And I thought they did a good job with that, and I was kind of worried about that. But that was good. You know, there was other good stuff. Roman, when they showed the footage of Roman on the thing with the stretcher, I'm like, well, why isn't he in it, or what the fuck's going on? Or I guess he's going to push him out of the way and run back to the Rumble, and then he just walked away, and it's like, what? Fuck, what a pussy. That's the first thing that I was like, where are you going, you pussy?
At
that's the first thing that came to my mind.
I think when they did that to Stone Cold, they at least put him on the stretcher. You know, Roman did that with him. So,
yeah.
I don't think you can have done with AJ. That would put him in the Jericho thing and made him go to the end in the Jericho role, just in that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, made him be like in the Final Four or whatever he was. That's the only thing I'd done different. Other than that, I thought, to be honest, when I heard that music, I thought a black guy was coming out. So,
I really dug how Kevin Owens eliminated him, because he honestly was probably the only guy that could get away with eliminating AJ.
That's true.
That was beautiful.
Yeah. By the way, Craig, on the Shane pay-per-view, Akiri Hokuto is wrestling on the show.
Oh, yeah, she wrestled in...
Oh, my bad. Never gonna let that go, are you? Never. Me and Dave Krizak, we always laugh about this every time I see him.
Yeah, well, what are you gonna do?
Yeah. But, like I say, the only thing that I really didn't like about the Rumble was, like I say, the whole thing with Roman in the league didn't make sense. Like, you're going to tell me that the hillbilly inbred swamp people were smart enough to throw Brock over the top, and the League of Nations are so stupid that they threw him under the rope instead of over the top to beat him up?
Yes. Yes, that's what you're supposed to believe.
That's stupid. Like I say, he should have been on the goddamn stretcher the whole way out. And then it would have worked, or it would have worked a lot better. Walking away like a pussy, that was stupid. But other than that, I mean, there wasn't really that much bad. I mean, I would have liked for Brock to have won, but I kind of knew he wasn't. So the way they got rid of him was smart. It took three dudes who weren't in the ring to throw him out. You know, after they beat him up once, and then he made a comeback on him, and then it took like a second time. So I didn't mind that. So I thought, like, for the most part, it was a well-booked Rumble, excluding the Roman Reigns shit.
Let me ask you this. Everybody, there's a lot of people up in arms that Triple H won. What do you think?
That didn't bother me, because you know the storyline is they want Roman to beat Triple H at WrestleMania, be his big win, finally beats the Authority. This is going to put him over the top. So it didn't bother me, because I knew what you needed to do to advance the storyline.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I didn't mind that either. I mean, even... I'm trying to think last time he was a champion was maybe, 8 years ago or something? Maybe 2008, I think, or something like during the deal with the program with Randy Orton when he was the champion. I think it's been 8 years, so it wasn't a big deal to me. I know some people are just going to poo-poo it because it's just, you know, Triple H is the champion. Triple H won the thing. Well, that's
right.
The story they're telling. It makes sense for him to win.
The only thing, I didn't like the fact that Roman, they could have gotten to Mania with Roman and Triple H if they would have had Roman in a singles match and Triple H still could have been number 30 and won the Rumble and gone on to WrestleMania. They wouldn't have had to do the championship stip. They wouldn't have had to have Roman get tossed. None of that. They could have kept him really strong up until Mania and Triple H still be the challenger going in because he's going to lose at Mania anyway.
Well, I think if they think that there was more build into you know, Triple H being the champion and Roman chasing, you know, going into the Mania, which they always do that at WrestleMania, kind of. So.
Yeah, I mean, you always want Mania to end with the good guy finally getting his big win. I think it only didn't happen once, and that's with Triple H, so I guess that's kind of like people get pissed off about it, but
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, why get mad if it's something that you know is building to the story and actually logical and makes sense?
I'm still trying to figure out what Triple H did to the man to make him destroy him at that TLC pay-per-view. Whatever. He really ain't done nothing to the guy. If you think about it, if you look back, nothing that bad.
But any other things that stood out from the Royal Rumble that you guys... Oh, like another thing is somehow I totally missed the replay of Kofi being eliminated. So when it came back to the end, I'm like, when Triple H's music hit, I thought they were going to do, like, remember when Santino was outside the ring when you thought Alberto won? And they started to celebrate, but, you know, Santino was doing it. I was expecting to see Big E come running down the back with Kofi on his shoulders and Xavier running behind him, and then, you know, Kofi getting back into the ring. So I was like, where the fuck's Kofi? What the fuck happened? And it wasn't until, like, after the Royal Rumble that I heard that they showed him get eliminated. And I was like, what? Fuck, I missed it. But that was funny when he was eating popcorn with the fans and everything. Yeah.
That was crazy.
No Jerry Lawler on commentary, I'm surprised at that.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, I would have liked to have had Jerry and Morrill do the commentary. I don't think Cole and them weren't as horrible as they can be. I actually didn't mind them. They didn't bother me at all, the pay-per-view, but it would have been better if it would have been Morrill.
Absolutely.
So, Couture, anything else in the Rumble that stood out to you, or that you marked
no,
out for?
No, not really. I would just I like AJ Styles thing the best, probably. Because I've always thought, like, even one of the best wrestlers I've thought for, like, probably about the last 10 years, at least.
Right.
Definitely responsible for most of the best matches in the history of TNA, I think. Him and Kurt Angle, probably. You know, I think he's been one of the... it's really like just the last 2 years he's really gotten, I think, noticed because of all the Japan stuff. So he's really gotten his due instead of being just in TNA. So
wasn't
I'm really
him
glad
and Jerry
to see
Lynn that carried, him and Jerry Lynn carried the early TNA?
Yeah, with the X Division. Those were the two main... Those were like the main feud in the X Division for like the first year or so. It was a big deal. But I've always liked him. He's just really good.
I was a little bit confused because they held off him hitting the Styles Clash, not only at the Rumble, but also on Raw only.
I thought they were going to wait till Mania.
Only to have it done on SmackDown.
Oh, did you use it on SmackDown? I don't know.
I haven't watched it, but that's what I've heard.
I saw a gif of it.
Why hold it off till SmackDown?
if they're
going to
hold it off, they should have done it till Mania. He should have teased it in every match up until Mania, and then did it at Mania and have 100,000 people just go crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Kind of funny.
But we've pretty much reviewed the whole show here and I'm trying to enjoy the Shine pay-per-view. So, Craig, is there anything else you wanted to talk about before we go?
No, I think we're good. Thanks for the phone call. It was much appreciated.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate people who realize that I am smarter than Brian Allers. He's a dead guy. He's an idiot. Call me an idiot.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, Craig.
Go ahead.
By the way, Craig, I sent you a message. I asked you for one simple thing. I asked you, please say if anyone is interested in the dinner or the bus, do email me. And then you finally get your little plug in there, and you plug the Facebook page that I didn't even mention, and you didn't even know how to plug the Facebook page, and it's like, way to go, Craig. Awesome job.
Hey, I got it in. Come on now. I mean, it might not have been the best plug, but I still got it, you know.
Yeah.
And it sucked, too, when you're getting a browbeating from the guy across the table, you know, trying to wrap it up and blah, 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 and then Craig cuts in, hey, by the way.
Well, you just look away from him. Don't look at him and just say, hey, steamroll the show. What's he going to do? Physically stop you?
That's true.
Yeah.
He does have a mute button on me, though.
But actually, I have, like, just in the last day, I had, like, 5 people contact me and sign up for the bus. So even though they're doing the world's shittiest job promoting this WrestleMania, like, every year after, we're going to do a better job. Every year it gets worse and worse. And he's always complained that he gets mad because of the way he's... Because I'm always nice to him when I ask him to plug it, but to him, he reads it as me screaming and yelling at him. So this year I sent in a plug. He didn't read it. I was like, God damn, this shit over. Okay. I asked Dez Walker, who's one of the biggest Brian kiss-up marks. He's a mark for Brian and Dave. He is. He's a good dude, but he's a mark for Brian Dave. And I let him, I don't want to get into this shit like I do every year. Would you like to be the middleman between me and Brian? Y'all get along stuff. He's like, sure. Okay. He sends him a plug, and I go, well, what do you think the over-under that, because he says likes to bet a lot. What's the over-under that he reads it? Oh, I don't want to take your money. He's going to read it for sure. And of course not. Of course not. And then when the bus thing happened, I had him, then this is what we need to do about the bus, this and that, if he gets this on there. Okay, this time I'll definitely, because last time he said he had it in front of him, he just forgot this, that. And, of course, no, he doesn't read it. The only plug that he's given on any show other than Wrestling Observer Live was when Dave made him give a plug. And it wasn't even for WrestleMania. Dave wanted him to plug Vegas. And he didn't have nothing to say about Vegas, so then he kind of threw a tidbit here about, my email, this and that. But it's like... Come on, dude. Don't you want to hang out with these people that pay you money every month? Isn't that why you go and stuff? And, it's just like, help a brother out. It's not like I'm even asking, how hard is it to read a 20-second paragraph? You know what I mean? It's like, these events could be so much bigger if the dude who's, in charge of the website would actually take 20 seconds of effort a week. You know what I mean? It's like, God, I'm just, if he doesn't tell me, if I sell that bus out before he even mentions anything about the bus, he's shit out of luck. That's all I'm going to say.
Plus, it's fun to read it stuff because most of it has spelling errors and cool to make fun of. So.
He's got you there.
But anyway, Katrina, anything else you want to talk about that we missed that you'd like to discuss before we go?
No, that's it.
Okay, cool. Well, I really don't have... anything else, and I like to watch Shine because I have a feeling that one, Leva Blue Pants Bates might be winning the NWA World Women's title tonight, and I want to watch that without being bothered. So we're going to go ahead and end the show, and we will talk to everybody next week.